This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Pete Biscuit! It's Jimmy from Boston. Biscuit, let me get this straight. You go and support a friend who had somebody pass away, and at the funeral, you start screaming and puffing up your feathers, trying to intimidate the elderly, two elderly people who are actually related to the deceased, and you call this how you celebrate life? What do you do if it's actually somebody you know that's being buried? Kick over the tombstone and spit on the grave? Later.
Every day I spend my time drinking wine, feeling fine, waiting here to find the sign that I...
DJ Lou, best tune you ever started the show with.
Yes!
You know who this is, Sebastian? Just hear that raspy voice.
That,
he owns a soccer team, too, man. That might, you know... You're into that.
Is it Tom Petty?
Well, then I would have said he owned a soccer team. Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart, yeah. Damn, so bad. So bad.
That is Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm Pete Corielli, DJ Lou behind the glass.
I just got done with a heavy investigation. Outside my home, I went out to get some breakfast, and I came back, and Lana was going to take Serafina for a walk, and she goes, babe, there's like tortillas all over the driveway.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is that? I go out, it's like little tortillas that you would make like a taco with. And they're all over the door. I go, what's that? She goes, I don't know. So automatically, I think someone just threw a bunch of garbage over my gate and landed on the driveway. So I take to the video cameras, right? So I'm looking, and it looks like between 6 a.m. and 6:15 this happened. That's where I pinpoint where this is. So I start rewinding the tape back and forth, and I got this in my head that I gotta identify this person. I'm swearing up and down, turns out it came from the sky. A bird dropped it.
Dude, my mind is blown right now. First of all,
did that ever cross your mind?
Well, how many pieces of tortilla are we talking about? Are we talking like a palm full? Are we talking one Dorito? What are we talking?
No, we're talking a small round tortilla, right? With, it looks like a few other fragments. It looks like the bird picked it out of the garbage, had it in his claws. And maybe, you know, as it was in the craw, the claws ripped it apart a little bit, and then lost it somewhere in mid-flight and landed on my driveway.
Wow. This is amazing, man, because without getting too deep into it, when I hear tortilla on the ground, over the gate, knowing there's a homeless problem around there, I'm stereotyping like crazy. I got a Mexican camp going on overnight on your side of the wall. They hop back over when the sun rises, left a tortilla behind. You know what I'm saying? And it turns out it's a fucking blue jay. This is what I'm talking about. Society, we have to kumbaya this shit, man.
I know, man. See, so I'm thinking, as I'm looking for the perpetrator on the video, it also crossed my mind, but this might be some wildlife. Maybe a raccoon, maybe a possum, what have you, was eating on the driveway and said, the hell with it, the tortilla's dry, and just left it there.
I just can't picture a wild animal walking away from a tortilla.
I know, that's what I like. It doesn't sound like they would walk away from a meal like that, and I never thought it would have came from the sky.
If I was a raccoon, I would literally have to be biting into the tortilla and eyeball a chicken bone mid-bite. Then I might drop the tortilla. Otherwise, by the way, I gotta say, man, I literally thought you were talking about like, when Doritos, a bag is left behind, all those crumbs. It's like, so I can't believe you go to the videotape and rewind 12 hours worth of darkness because you got a half a chip on the sidewalk. I mean, you're insane, guy. You got to get to Bel Air like tomorrow. Fuck.
Come on. You would not try and find out what happened on your driveway if you had like video cameras on the driveway? I mean.
Well, you do have the fence and the gate. So it is peculiar because, you know, it's not like someone could just walk up to your front door. But
yeah.
Man, I mean, I don't know. Lou, you're the voice of reason here. Would you rewind 12 hours for a tortilla?
Yeah, because everything's so pristine and it's so goddamn odd. Like how it just gnaws at you. Why the fuck would that happen?
Yeah.
I hear you. I mean, just to catch a neighbor eating and just tossing one over on his way, walking a dog, and you could go up to that neighbor next time and be like, I saw you throw the tortilla. So
yeah, that's what I wanted to have happen. Either a neighbor, a vagrant, what have you. I just wanted to see how they did it. If they did like a skyhook Kareem right over the gate and said, "Eh, fuck you." Any one of those lobs?
How do you accidentally spill a tortilla over a 6-foot wall? You know? It's gotta be blatant. I think the bird, you know, no pun intended, bit off more than it could chew. Like it saw the big chip. I'm going to bring this home to the family. Who's the big dog? And it got like over your house. It's like, I can't even hold this shit.
I would think, though, he would come back and get it after it fell out of his, you know.
Well, he didn't realize he dropped it in German territory. Psycho you fucking already doing an investigation. I'm surprised you didn't put a little string on the tortilla chip and put it back on the lawn. I'd be hiding in the bush with a fucking bat.
Oh, man. So, yeah, man, I got all hopped up, you know, which is really going to set the theme here for the show. And Lana doesn't even like me telling this story because she doesn't think it has any relevance whatsoever. But I went to the bank and I don't know how you are when you go to the bank, but I'm on high alert when I come out of the bank, especially where I go to the bank. It's a little, you know, sketchy area, and that's sketchy, but it's just, you know, again, with the vagrants and the crime around the area, you never know. So I come out of the bank, and this is what I didn't like about the bank. There's a security guard normally stationed at the front door of the bank on the inside. The security guard this time was in the line, like, you know, where people, you know, gather in the line, kind of letting people know what teller's available. Now, I'm upset that this guy ain't watching the door.
He's got his
back,
I hear you.
Back towards the door. That's all somebody's got to come in. And this guy's, we're all dead. So that, number one, pissed me off. So I come out of the bank, and again, I'm on high alert. I'm never on the phone, never texting when I come out of the bank because I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to my car, and I see three kids in their early 20s, I'd say maybe 20, run across the street. Now they're running, and they get to the sidewalk, and now they're going into the parking lot, and they're going towards my car. And I'm kind of going towards my car from an opposite direction. So I'm like, what are they doing? So I start to get to my car, and one of the kids goes, "Hey, man, can you take a photo of us?" Right away, I'm like, this is it. It's a scam, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they get me to be preoccupied with the phone with the two hands up, and a fourth maybe comes from behind, knocks me on the head, takes the car and the money.
By the way, I could be in Disney World and I wouldn't take your fucking photo. So this whole thing is suspect. Right? So you come running up to me at a bank.
So what? So I take a look around and I take the photo. I take the photo and I give it back to the kid. And as he's leaving, he turns to me and he goes, "Hey, nice car." Now I'm thinking, oh, you were going to do it to me, but you saw how alert I was and you aborted the mission.
The "hey, or nice car" was their way of saying, "You got us. Way to be alert." Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's the thing. You avoided something right there.
I think I did. And there's a flip side. They wanted a photo because there was a big mural, a brick wall. They had like a big painted mural, and they wanted a photo in front of the mural. And I noticed that they looked like tourists, could have been. But who knows nowadays, right? So I walk around all day long, kind of, not all day long, but I always err on the side of caution. But my question to you is, how do you turn down not taking a photo? Like, what would you say?
I was actually being sarcastic. I would take the photo. I'm not a dick. But you didn't mention the mural when you told the story, right, Lou? You made it sound like they just came running up to you for a three-way selfie or something.
Right.
That changes everything I just said.
Okay.
What is this mural of? Is it photo worthy?
It was one of these things where in Los Angeles now they got I don't know if this is happening in New York City, but what they're doing is they're taking sides of walls of businesses, and artists are doing large murals, and it's like an attraction. There's a Paul Smith pink wall on Melrose that everybody goes to. So that's like the thing. They want to take photos in front of a wall. But that being said, I'm always erring on the side of this is it. I'm going to get robbed, mugged, whatever it is, and not just going through life. Yeah, sure, I'll take a photo of you.
That's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, Lana's right, guy. You can't be walking around thinking that much. You're too in-depth with it. Do you ever worry about getting robbed while you're in the bank by a bank robbers? Like, you know, Patrick Swayze, rest in peace. What a thespian.
Oh man, what, like Point Break?
Yeah,
the Point Break, I think robbery scenes are, if the robbery was gonna happen, would you rather get robbed Point Break style with the president masks, or would you just rather have a guy come in a hood? Because I think the president masks add a whole new dimension to the robbery. I would say,
yeah,
there'd be two sides of the story. First, I would go, "Oh my God, we're getting robbed." Then I go, "Is that a Nixon mask?"
And then I go, "Is he doing the voice too?" I tell you, not only would I rather get robbed by those presidents, I might tip what's in my wallet as they leave. I got two 20s. They're yours. Holy shit! People would be excited. They'd be like, "Here they come." They'd linger. People would be lingering in the bank just hoping to be there for the robbery. Now, here's a serious question. If, you know how they say, put your face down on the ground and don't move. When you put your face, like your cheek, down to the tile, you know, with germs and all, do you do a solid cheek touch to the tile, or do you keep it at about a half an inch hover over the dirt floor, the bank floor?
I think I go down. And then if I could get away with it, put my hand down first and then put my cheek on my hand. You think I could get away with one of those?
That, I don't know. You might want to see your hands. I wonder if they would let you go, can I pull my handkerchief out and lay it down, put my cheek on the hanky? Because, I love a charming bank robber. I love that.
Get your hands where I can fucking see them. Thank you.
I love that. You know, Dillinger was like that. I don't want your money. I want the bank's money. I'm like, nice. I like the style. But those, you know, those ones coming in on crystal meth. Oh, God. Run for the exit. Run for the exit. Fuck.
Now, on the bank robbery, do you like it? Let's say if they come in, and I think I saw this in Point Break, where they actually get up on the counter so they're over everybody. Like, would you rather have a guy like that or a guy just coming in, eye level?
Well, it depends. What's he doing on the counter? You know, I mean, if he's waving a gun, shooting the ceiling, I'm shitting my pants. But if he's up there, like you said, doing a little Nixon shtick, I'm like, wow, entertainment during the robbery. I'm going to go take stuff out of the vaults. Johnny here is going to do 5 minutes. Take it away, Johnny.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are the ex-presidents, and we need just a few moments of your time. We've been screwing you for years, so a few more seconds shouldn't matter. Now, should it? On the floor, asshole. Your money's insured, so it's not worth dying for.
That's really creative. We've been screwing you for years and robbing you, and now we're going to, die.
I don't think he needed to call him an asshole, though. And then when he said, your money's insured, it's not worth dying for, that's his way of saying, just, lay down, relax. This has nothing to do with you. We'll be in and out in 10 seconds.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and please don't forget to vote.
I'm not a crook.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
By the way, Lou, I got some weird email from you.
Yeah.
You might have been there might be a hack going on your on your side.
Really?
Yeah. It came from, it's got me and four other emails attached. It says mysuperwoman.com.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
It's a link, so take a look at your.
Shit. Oh, man, I'm always getting hacked. Fuck. Okay, thank you.
Let's start with the email he sent you. You were doing press last night for one of your films coming out called Tag that you're in. And I asked if I could bring this up to you because it's breaking news. Again, no pun intended. But, dude, Jeremy Renner broke both arms third day of shooting. They're telling us here he's been in two green casts and he couldn't move his arms. And you had that whole wedding scene with him, man. Was he casted up?
See, this is I didn't know exactly what his deal was in regards to casts or whatnot. He had a suit on, and I do remember kind of hitting him on the arm, hey, what's it? And he's like, oh man, my arm. I go, oh, I'm sorry. So he had broke both of his arms doing a scene, I guess, a week earlier, He was doing the film with two broken arms. He was still there. I didn't see any cast, but I do know that he was sore from, or sore, whatever the hell he was, from the accident. And I did give him a pop to the arm, I remember, and gave him a kind of, hey, and then he's like, ah, my arm. I'm like, oh, jeez.
You need some help?
No, I'm fine. Motherfucker!
No real big story on that. Speaking of Renner, though, let me get your take on this. I'm invited, and this is the first time I've been really involved with a major motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm invited to a cast dinner tonight at Renner's home.
Oh,
so. I'm going solo. I'm not part of the nucleus of the, I just got a small part in this thing. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect on the dinner, man.
Dude, that's awesome. How fun will that be? What is he, the Birdman in those Marvel movies? The bow and arrow guy or something? No, Hawk.
Yeah. Hawk. Oh, Hawk. Yeah, Hawk.
Hawkeye, trained by Captain America in tactics and martial arts as a steady force for good and a deadly opponent due to his use of trick arrows and unparalleled precision.
Wow. I listen, we're talking, you say there's no big deal about the broken arms. 3 days into shooting, two broken arms, and they don't even replace them with Ben Affleck or something? I mean, speaks volumes about the star power. We'll take Renner with two broken wings.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this guy sucked it up and went through the film with two broken arms. So that's something to be said. Maybe I'll get some more information tonight on that. But I'm going into uncharted territory tonight, man.
No, that'll be fun, dude. That's really cool.
That's
speaking of, while we're kind of on a movie side, I got this is a little side thing. Lou, you got that song?
Yeah.
Bro, this is kind of weird. Have you heard this song? I don't want to tell it to you yet. It's a new song. Can you play the beginning for Sebastian? This song, I almost bought it to work out. You ever hear this? Does this not sound like something you could easily bang out 3 miles at an 8-minute pace like nothing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good. Who is this?
Well, that's the thing, right? My daughter's got a dress rehearsal last night before I leave town. And one of the numbers, all the girls come out. It's the opening number, and they're singing, dancing to this. I got chills. They were blasting away, the older girls. And I'm like just about to do that. What do you call it? Where you do it on your phone? Where you see what song it is? I forget what I call that.
Yeah, app. Shazam.
Shazam it, yeah. And then all of a sudden it stops. Watch this. Searching in the dark. Put that up, Luke.
Soaking through the floor.
You hear that shit? I'm like, what is that? The lead singer of Creed?
Buried in your bones, there's Nate that you can't ignore.
Who is that? It's a rock star, right? Put it up, Luke.
Fight it, it's coming for you, running at you.
You hear that, bro? This moment, don't care. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now here's my quandary. Listen a little closer. Do you recognize that voice? It's freedom, it's flooding open. It's a picture in the pulpit and your blind devotion. Guy, you know who that is?
Yeah, you guy, you're that's, asking me. I couldn't even pinpoint Rod Stewart.
Bro, but this is that's Fancy Pants Hugh Jackman right there. Wolverine. Do you hear that? It's like I accidentally fondled a man's ball sack in the dark thinking it was a woman's breast. I was like, I couldn't wait to go home and download this and just do a workout just because of this song. Now, I mean, I'm in a quandary. What do you do? Do you still go for it and download it and disregard that it's Hugh Jackman? Listen. Nothing against you, Jackman. Fine actor. I'm just saying, you know, he likes to do the Broadway numbers and stuff. It's like, why don't I just download the whole A Chorus Line album and do 5K?
So you're saying that you have a totally different look on the song now that you know who's singing it. So if somebody told you it was Eddie Vedder, you would go, oh my God, this is unbelievable. But since it's Hugh Jackman, yes. Now you're like, I can't even get into the song.
Absolutely. I'm looking at myself in the mirror whispering, who are you?
I'm a loner, Daddy. A rebel.
I'm questioning everything, guy. So well, what about...
Like, is this like a hit? Is this like a hit or is this off an album that's an... Is this a new song?
It's from the new movie that's now available on TV on download or whatever called The Greatest Show on Earth, where Hugh Jackman,
The Greatest right. Showman,
Greatest Showman, show. Where he plays P.T. Barnum. Now, I wanted to watch it because I saw that he P.T. Barnum is the one who called it show business for the first time. Someone said, well, you know, who made that up? And he's like, I did just now. So fascinating, right? I go to watch the trailer, and Hugh is the star of it, and he's doing a lot of dancing and singing, and I'm like, this looks like it's like Chicago, you know, one of these musicals. Yeah. I told Jackie, I'm out, right? So next thing you know, I hear, because I didn't hear this in the trailer. Now I'm hearing this, and yes, man, I can't, what are you going to do? Like, what if Barbra Streisand all of a sudden did the best rock song you ever heard with electric guitar? I can't download that shit. Work out to it, can I?
Yeah, I think you got to throw caution to the wind on this one and just download it and enjoy it for what it is. I think you're diving in too much to it. I mean, it sounds like an anthem. I mean, I'd play that to wake up in the morning. I mean, could you rewind it to the beginning and just like imagine getting up to this. Oh, man, I'm tired. Oh, man.
Right? Not today, man. You're not. No.
Brush your teeth, bro.
Oh, yeah, getting up, putting the socks on.
Tackle that day.
I'm sorry. I don't care. Hugh Jackman or what? It's a pumper, man. Whew. And then you get.
That is the quandary, Lou. I don't even know if I'm using that word right. But anyway. So, nothing against you, man. He's done some fine work.
Fuck you.
We understand. I get it.
I just don't like that. I don't like all. I don't like mixing. You know, I don't want one of my favorite songs to be by an actor. That's not how it's supposed to work. I love songs by rock stars and movies by movie stars.
All right, Lou. I don't know how we could do this without Pete. I don't know the name of the song, but Lou should know as soon as I text him the name of the artist. Tell me your feelings on it.
It's got like a 3-minute intro.
Very 80s.
Yeah, it's 80s.
Oh, is this, by the way, is this Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Yes.
And which one is it? Is it the one hit?
Yep.
Okay, so you do know. So when he came out with this, were you like, just stick to the jokes? Or
absolutely. What was the... It was catchy as hell, though. What was it?
Party all the time.
My girl wants to party all the time. Yeah, I mean...
No?
Didn't Michael Jackson help him with this song?
No, the guy who died... who's the guy who died that's Charlie... the guy who said cocaine's a hell of a drug?
Rick James?
Rick James produced it and sings background.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, this song in anyone else's hands at that time would have been an even bigger hit. It was like a lob, you know what I'm saying? So, it was so catchy and stuff, but so, you know, we were all aware of it. But even then, bro, come on.
No, man, thought. When this thing came out, I was like, gee, this guy sings too? Like, didn't he do one with Michael Jackson called What's Up With You?
That sounds familiar. I'm going to look that up.
Look up What's Up With You.
I will.
Oh, man.
So he's singing like Michael Jackson, so.
Yeah, that's why I liked it so much.
Oh, yes. What's Up With You?
That's another one I really got into. I know Pete wasn't into it, but I mean.
He's dying. Here he is.
Oh, wait, maybe this is not so much the one I was into.
Isn't there something about, yeah. He had like one, that was a hit and then he had a semi-hit.
Yeah, I don't know about this one.
Oh, but you're sure about the first one, huh? Well, I will say this, though. What was that? There was some song that was popular that Dice, they would do a drop from Dice.
Unbelievable. Oh
yeah. Yeah, and I had no problem with that. I'd always wait for it and go, oh! And then Kinnison had a song too, right?
Yes,
with that woman.
Wild Thing.
Yeah, he redid Wild Thing. That's right. You have to be a rock star. There's a song I have now from us on my thing. Jackie told me it's an actress, so I stopped playing it. I tuned it out, even though I liked it.
All right, so it's either you're an actor or you're a singer. There's no crossover.
Right.
Yeah, like for even Justin Timberlake, that I watch his movies, but I don't listen to his music, so he's an actor to me.
Oh, jeez.
What, man?
So let's get into the garage sale.
Let's get into the garage sale.
Pete sent us a photo of the Amish trolling the driveway. Right.
Yes, we had our garage sale Saturday afternoon. Dude, it was, you know, I was hesitant. The thing was, bro, I had a trailer right to the side, and anything that anyone didn't want goes right in the trailer, and I'm going right to the dump. That was the deal. And I said to Jackie, we're not having this thing for a long time. We're not negotiating. Prices are low. And all this. I was at peace, bro, because as soon as it started and people showed up to buy stuff, I'm like, they're taking away my garbage. I have people coming to my house smiling and taking away my garbage.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful at its core. Having said that, man, where do we start? First of all, we set up Friday night about two or three in the afternoon. We started setting up. Garage sale is going to be on Saturday. My in-laws are bringing their stuff too. So they come over and we got a really long driveway. And Jackie has me bringing it all out from the garage. She's slapping prices on everything. Dude, people start pulling up, walking up my driveway on Friday. To the point, and we keep going, it's not till tomorrow. And they're like, okay, see you then. Oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. I had to go get Sadie and have her sit and play with her dolls out at the end of the driveway. And when people would pull up, she'd just run out before they'd even get out of the car and go, not till tomorrow. Sales not till tomorrow.
Wait, they're just driving by and see this? Or you got signs up?
Well, we have no signs up. Oh, that's the thing. We have no signs up, but it's Friday and Saturday of last weekend was in town what's called attic and cellar days. That means all the stuff from your basement and attic. You sell if you want, yeah, you know. So people know on Friday and Saturday they come to Fredonia and they drive all around the village and there's garage sales everywhere. So I said to Jackie, we don't even have to advertise. We'll just do it that weekend. We have a corner house. Our house is nice. The nicer the house, the more people want to come to your house because they think you're going to have decent shit. Mm. So I go, we'll be fine. No sooner we start setting up, people are pulling up left and right. So Jackie goes, I'm going to go get the garage sale. She has two stakes. I'm going to put them in the drive on the front lawn and write on it Saturday. And I go, Jack, you're writing in little marker Saturday. All they're seeing is garage sale. You're adding to the problem. No, I'm not, Pete. They pull up and they see Saturday. And I go, nobody's seeing Saturday, man. Nobody's seeing that. So anyway, she wouldn't get rid of them. So Sadie's got to sit there and keep telling people. Then they say it's going to rain overnight. So I got to get every tarp I have. Luckily, I don't even know. I had so many tarps in the basement. And I'm topping all the product, all of it. I got bricks.
I don't understand why you're bringing this out on the driveway already.
Because my wife is the most organized person on the planet. And she can't just wake up, slap the stuff out there, sell it as we're pulling it out. Who cares? Everything has to be organized. Dude, she literally had like she would have one section is all the kids' stuff, like kids' toys, baby seat, crib. Another section was like soccer balls, a tennis racket. I'm like, what do we see this? We got a sporting goods section? this is the kid department? We didn't sell any clothes. So anyway, as it goes, right? She makes us put all these tarps on, pours rain. Fucking tarps don't even do much. So the next morning, everything is soaked. Bro, this is how crazy it was for a second. I'm selling for 50 cents. Jackie slaps 50 cents on, which was my idea, actually, I'll be honest. My Dean Martin greatest hits called That's Amore DVD in concert. Oh, okay. Right?
At least $10.
That's what you would think, bro.
That's a collector's item.
So, it gets wet overnight. So, you know, in a DVD box, you know, you know how you can, like, open it up and then slide the cardboard cover out?
Yeah.
I take the cover out. It's Dean Martin's gorgeous face. And I'm laying it on the grass in the morning sun trying to dry it out. As I take a rag and I'm cleaning the inside of the DVD between the plastic and the hard plastic.
For 50 cents.
For 50 cents. What the fuck? You gotta be careful. It's like, It's like when Indiana Jones says, don't open up your eyes when they open up the tombstone. Keep your eyes closed. It's like you keep your eyes open, you get sucked into that weird world, right?
You got the stuff outside. People are pulling up. I don't really like Sadie being the spokesman for the garage sale with going over to people. Again, I'm always thinking negative. Like, kids going up to the car, that's all these people got to do. Boom, she's in the car, she's kidnapped.
Well, she's not getting out of the car. But you're right, bro. I should have put a price tag on her. No, she's at the edge of the driveway. I can see her. She's in eyesight.
All right.
So luckily, the first hour I had to take Sadie to a T-ball game. So the first hour to garage sale, right when it was starting, I had to leave. Now, right out of the gate, I'm selling two mopeds. They're both from like 1974. Those old yellow ones, man, they're so cool. And they both run. They need a little TLC. If I was a mechanic, I'd never sell them. So I say to Jack, I'm going to sell the two-seater for $200 and the one-seater for $150. And I go, which is like, I cringe. I cringe that I'm even doing that. If I was a mechanic, I would never give these babies away.
Yeah, but why can't you just fix them up a little bit and keep those? They sound like they're cool little scooters you could bounce around town with just for the fun of it, no?
They are. They're antiques. They're fantastic, but they don't work that great. So, I mean, all the parts, I had a mechanic fix them all up for me. But the minute it doesn't start, I'm just sitting there pumping, hitting the clutch, nothing, pumping. So then I got to bring it to him. And then, you know, he's going to charge me for his time. And then $150 later, it's working again. And then they're not consistent enough. I said, I'm going to sell them, and I want to get two scooters down the line like you have, you know, modern, boom. So anyway, I go, but this pains me because I know I could probably, I don't know, $750, $800 each. These things are like antiques.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name off the top of the head, but there was a gentleman who listens to the cast from Montreal, heard me bring this up the first time. He emails me, I want to buy the mopeds if they're reasonably priced. I'm sorry, bro. I didn't get back to you because I wasn't going to have you drive 6.5 hours to Buffalo for two mopeds. It's ridiculous. I appreciate it, but I couldn't make you do that. So here's the deal. Jackie says to me, Sebastian, she goes, good luck getting $200 for that or $150. You're not going to get that, Pete. You're not going to get, I mean, you should be selling them like two for $100. I'm like, Jack, are you crazy? So I take the mopeds and I put them right at the end of the driveway, like the piece you see when you pull up. You go, God, this guy's got mopeds. What else is there? Right?
Yeah.
I leave to take Sadie to the ball game. Dude, I'm literally out behind shortstop, top of the first inning. My phone rings. It's Jackie. Do you have the registration for the mopeds? I go, yeah, it's in the da-da-da. Well, there's two guys here, guy, they're fighting. They're literally fighting over the mopeds because the one guy said he wants them and he was going back to get his money. And the other guy's like, he doesn't have his money on him. He doesn't have his money on him. I have my money on me right now. Take my money. Take my money. And then the first guy's like, guy, I'm getting it out of my car. All right? It's right there. Oh, you don't have it on you. You know? And I'm saying, Jack, I told you. I'm on the ball field yelling into the phone to Jackie going, I knew I gave those damn mopeds away. Damn it.
Well, now you got two people want. This is a bidding war.
Bidding war, guy? You can't be having a bidding war at a garage sale. The
what
price
do you mean?
Is the price.
Oh, no. This is the whole idea about a garage sale. It's like, oh, you want it? Well, I don't know. What are you willing to offer? And then, boom, we're in a war. That's how it works, man.
That's not. No, I say like that.
Price is
not
a price. Ain't Walmart.
What? That's not in good faith. You slap a price tag on that, and then two people are salivating for it. You can't go, change my mind. It's double. You can't. That's what kind
of. No, I'm sorry. This is the flea market. It's the same thing. Something's in high demand. Supply is low. Demand is high. Price goes up.
That wasn't the mission statement at our garage sale.
I remember Pete saying a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to be involved with the haggling. Just take my junk away.
That's true. And I mean, I'm over. I was over it pretty quickly, although it does bug me. But Jackie's like, they've been sitting in the garage for 2 years. You haven't done anything. You have no plans to. I'm like, all right. Just so the guy gets the peds. I come home an hour later. Half the stuff is gone. All right.
Wow.
I say to Jackie, she goes, people are pulling up and they're like, not only do you have the best stuff, thank you for having regular, real garage sale prices. I mean, people out there, they think they have department stores. You guys are like, this is so generous and kind. Bro, we were basically a Salvation Army giveaway.
Oh, man. This makes me even more upset.
What, right? And then the Amish show up, and they go right for the, you know, utensils, tools, you know? I mean, I was tempted to go down to the basement and get fucking hoses and shit.
People are buying forks and knives? Used?
No, not used, man. A bunch of forks and knives we've acquired through gifts through the years that were up in the attic. Bring them down. Jackie puts them, what she does, put them all in one bag. It says whole bag for like, you know, $3 silver, beautiful, nice, you know? I mean, silver colored. But, you know, she says them, there's no spoons in there. Or she'll say the other one, that doesn't have the serving thing. Well, that's okay. I can get that somewhere else. It's great.
So Amish go right to what? Kitchen supplies?
Kitchen supplies.
What else did they get?
Anything without a cord. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so the placemats. They were big into the placemats. Dishes. Lapped up the dishes. Some flower pots. And then we had all these. Then we had one lady come up. Sadie's got all these stuffed animals. So we had to get rid of half of them. I'm talking like 30 of these things. And, you know, that's another thing. You come up to the house, you look at a stuffed animal, you see the little girl there whose stuffed animals they were, and you're like, oh, these are clean. You know what I mean? No, I'm sorry. It's a clean home. I'm not saying it's a, is that an edit? God damn.
No. It's funny.
I'm saying white trash is white trash.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
totally. We're not white trash. So the lady goes, how much are they? And they, Jackie had them at a quarter apiece. And I was rarely involved in money, which was great. So now I happen to be standing there, and I'm, like, irritated. And she's like, okay, do you have a bag or something? That's what drives me up. Some people be like, do you have a box? Do you have a bag? I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's terrible.
No. What the? And, of course, Jackie's like, she wants to get rid of everything. So she's like, yeah, go get a bag, Pete, go get a bag. I come back with a Glad bag, and I open it up, and the lady goes, oh, these are for a camp. We have a camp in the summer, and we like to give out little prizes and stuff for the kids, and they'll really love these. And I'm in my head, I'm like, is this where I'm supposed to say just take them? Because I'm fucking not.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a scam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? Out of charity schmarity, ladies. Cough it up. 25 cents each. So she starts throwing them in there, right? And she's like, one, two, three, $1. One, two, three.
Oh, God.
And I'm holding the bag open like you would if someone's going to dump leaves in, you know, and you bag of leaves together. So she gets up to $4, still throwing them in it. My father-in-law leans over. He goes, take them all for $5. How about that? And she goes, okay. And then she just dumps them all in. I'm like, thank you, Mike. Holy shit.
Mike to the rescue.
Yeah. So, I got two things I got to bring up specifically, man. This was crazy, right? My neighbor next door, I told you about them. They're trying to sell their house now. Yeah. They never lived there. Someone was renting that we liked. So we don't talk to them, and we don't have a relationship. And she's having an open house the day of our garage sale. Okay, during our garage sale, Jackie calls me up. I'm at the baseball game, and she goes, guess who's walking up and down our driveway browsing? My neighbor with a kid.
That owns the home?
Who owns the home? Who we don't have, we've had words with. So what, do you think now it's a public space? Like it's now a store and you have a legal right to walk up and down? I almost called my lawyer, bro, because I want to ask you this. At its core, is it still my home or is it discrimination if I tell her to get the F off my driveway?
Yeah, no,
And she's a white woman. It's not like it's like racial or anything, but I'm like,
yeah, I think you got the right to refuse service in your own domain. That's you ever walk into a business? We have the right to refuse service to anyone. You ever see that sign?
Yeah, I've seen the sign, but then people walk out and call the closest Jewish guy they can find and sue you. I want to make sure that's not going to happen to me, you know?
It's your place of business. I think you could go up to her and go, I'm sorry, but you're not welcome here.
one of our attorneys is a Jew.
Private property.
Well, I'm going, it's not my place of business. It's really at its core still a home, which it will be again in 3 hours, and get the hell off my driveway, lady. That's what I'm saying.
Nah, it's a home first, and it's acting as a swap meet for 3 hours.
So check this out, right? So this is the only moment where I was like so mad that I did this and so embarrassed. I mean, humiliated, bro. Jackie goes inside to make Sadie her lunch. And I'm like, shit. So a couple comes up, right? The woman's pregnant, and they have a child who's like 3, maybe, boy. And they're like very normal looking. And they stroll what we have left. And they quickly stroll it and don't want any of it. And a party is embarrassed. Like, I want to be like, yeah, we had good shit, lady. Don't even kid yourself. All right?
Yeah.
So the boy grabs this Paw Patrol thing Sadie has where you, like, draw and then you lift up the paper. Something where you shake it and then it's gone and you draw again. It was like a dollar. I think it was like, yeah, $40 when she bought the damn thing. But so he's shaking it and they go, do you like that, Seth? Do you like that? And he's like, like, and, you know, I don't even know if he's saying yes or whatever, but he's just shaking it. And then she goes, he wants it. Now, at this point, I had just gotten a beer for me and my father-in-law, and I'm actually drinking it. I'm not even fake drinking it. And we're sitting on a bench, pretty much wrapping up. I wasn't humiliated, so it's been nice. We're sipping on beer. And now this is going on, like, 3 feet away from me. Yeah. And then the mother goes, it's $1. And she turns to the husband. She goes, do you have a dollar? And he goes, I'll get one out of the car. So
what's with this going back to the car for money shit?
Especially for a dollar. I'm like, what, are you, they only carry 20s? Or did you think this shit was free? I mean, so as she's waiting for him to come back, she's like, daddy will be right back with the money and then you can have that. So he comes right back with the dollar. And like, I'm like, I ain't getting up to take the dollar. I'm right here. Just lean over and hand me the dollar. You know, I'm like, this is like already going on fucking way too long for a dollar, right? So then, oh my God, he turns and hands the dollar. The mother goes, here, Seth, you have to pay the man yourself. So the daddy hands the kid the dollar, and he's like, yeah, he's ready to pick his nose with the fucking thing. He doesn't even know what to do with it, right? He's like, 2, actually. He's like, D-d-d-d-. And they turn him around towards me, and they go, go give the man the dollar. I'm sitting on the edge of the bench with my father-in-law, like I'm waiting, like a fucking peasant. I'm waiting for a dollar from the entitled little white rich kid, you know? And he shuffles over and he hands it. Now say thank you. And I take it from him and I have to go, thank you. Enjoy the poor.
Shut it down, man. Oh, man. That's pathetic.
Always be closing. Always be closing.
How did Lou get off the thread with me, you, and Watt? He's wondering, he said, before the show started. Just seems like he was a...
Yeah, what was that? Like a fleeting text thread that he was on?
It was fleeting.
I mean, I hung in there for, I'd say, a week and a half.
And then, yeah, and no, then
I don't know why we got to start that back up again.
It's all right. I mean, I could live without it, but it was fun.
No, we got to do it.
I was telling Lou, hey, listen, don't feel bad. Sometimes I'm on a 3-way thread with you two, and Watt starts the text with, Sebastian, have you ever da-da-da? Or did you see da-da-da? So I'm like, all right, I'll just... It's like you two are playing tennis, and I'm sitting in between the net. Yeah. So Watt, if you're listening, next time you start one like that, I'm doing a walk away.
Oh man!
So,
all right, we'll get that started back up again. On another note, you know the dog whisperer Cesar Millan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So through a friend, we got invited over to his ranch to see the animals. Right.
What, has he got a ranch in the L.A. area?
Yeah, in the L.A. area, I guess he's got some ranch. Now, I want to go over there just for the sole purpose because I think Serafina has an unbelievable attachment to dogs, right? Every time she sees a dog, she starts freaking out. And the dog come right up to her, right? And I want to ask Milan, what's the dog saying about the baby?
Does he get that deep? Or is it just he can say if a dog's happy or sad? But like,
no, I think he could get like really like, oh, he says she's got beautiful eyes. I don't know. I think it's a little bit more in depth. And this leads me into my topic here, which Lana, I, and Serafina went to Runyon Canyon. It's a like a hike. You've been there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get to the top of the hike, and there's a pit bull that comes into the hike, and there's about three or four other dogs, and a full-blown brawl breaks out between the pit bull and these other dogs. And the pit bull goes for the jugular on, I don't know, it looked like a Lassie-type dog.
Yeah.
So it's such a melee because all the owners are now getting involved and there's a lot of screaming and whatnot. And I tell Lana, run. Now Lana's like frozen. She's kind of looking at the melee. I go, run! Get out of here! So we start to run down the hill and Lana starts to stop after like only 20 seconds of running. I go, just keep running, keep running. So we keep running for a good, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. So I said, listen, when anything like that happens, get the hell out of there. Like if you're not with me, don't watch that stuff because that dog or whatever, that could just, you know, who knows what that dog's going to do? It could attack you, Serafina. Just get out of there. So I go as far as saying, you know what? Come to think of it, we should start taking a knife on these hikes, right? The honest to God, like this is stuff that I would have never thought of prior to having a baby, but God forbid you're on a hike. This dog has a flashback. Next thing you know, it's attacking the family. Ting! Right to the neck, no?
You think you're going to have the wherewithal to stab a dog?
If it attacks you, you don't think you could stab a dog?
Well, here's the thing. The dog's coming at you. Even if you had the wherewithal to get down on one knee, pull out your hunting knife, and mm-hmm. put up your forearm in a way to stab it. What if the dog does a quick turn to the left and like goes running after a bird and it wasn't coming for you? Now you look like some psycho asshole with a fucking knife out in Runyon Canyon.
Yeah, well, I talked to Lano about this. I said, obviously, you know, you don't react if the dog's going to come and sniff, you know. But if this thing attacks and the way this pit bull was attacking, I'm sorry, but... Yeah, it's either the pit bull or my family, and the pit bull's going down. I'm sorry.
No, listen, to your point, at the garage sale, a guy had the audacity to show up at the garage sale walking a pit bull on a leash.
Oh, God.
As soon as I saw it, I scooped up Sadie and took her behind the shed and said, oh, let's play in the playground here. Why? And I go, there's a dog out there. Well, so what, Danny? She loves dogs, too. I go, it's a pit bull. It'll get you by the neck and kill you, all right? I don't want you. And then she starts crying. Is it gone? Is it gone? And then Jackie gets on me. Why would you scare her to death like that? I go, because I don't need me not being home and someone walks by with a pit bull and says, mine's friendly. And she goes, don't go near them. I'm sorry for you pit bull owners. Mm-hmm. Ticking time bombs. Ticking time bombs.
I know, it's just, you keep running into people that have these pit bulls and say they are friendly dogs, which they might be friendly, but they just have to me, when I see them, it doesn't have a friendly look to it. You know, it's just, it looks like don't even test me.
Yeah. It looks like a guy who quit drinking and is sipping coffee really fast and telling you, no, I feel good. I've never felt better. And you're like, oh, this guy's going to fucking snap. Right? A pit bull never looks chill. It's never licking its own balls, crawling around. It's always eyeballing you, man. Right? Still, perfectly still. You ever see that move when they don't move at all? Oh, you better start stretching, bitch. Get ready to bolt.
Oh, I know. And from what I understand is they have one of the strongest jaw. It's like a shark. They have one of the strongest bites. So once they lock in, the jaw locks and you can't get the damn thing off you. So I was even telling Lana, I don't even think the pit bull responds to the owner if he's in full attack mode. So no, if the owner's going, no, don't do that. I don't even know. What's a good name for
killer?
Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that, killer. I don't even think he responds to the owner. I think, this thing sees white and goes right in, locks in, and the only way to get it off is a stab to the stomach.
That's it. It blacks out, bro. It blacks out in rage, and by the time it comes to, it's being gassed. I'm telling you. It's like, oh, man, I don't know what happened to me. Well, I'll tell you what's about to happen to you.
Yeah, it's just a fearful dog. I'm sorry for the pit bull owners that are out there that say they're very nice. It just looks menacing, and it looks like it could snap at any minute. And they just look strong.
Yeah. No, I think we should just have an island dedicated to them where we take them all over there, and they feed on birds and shit. And they live a wonderful wildlife, like a Jurassic Park thing, man. They're just dangerous, man. I'm sorry. So I hear you.
Well, Lana looked at me like I was like a little nuts because I actually acted out the stab. Like, you know, I said, anything happens, you ting, and I did like a stabbing motion, and she's like, what? Like, there's moments like that in the relationships where I think she looks at me and goes, what did I marry?
You married safety. That's what you married.
You married a guy who's looking at 12 hours of video footage to see where a tortilla came from.
Let's get organized.
You guys, you need to get some sort of like bear mace. That's what you should run with. You can't be running with a knife. It's, first of all, it's too, it'll weigh you down.
Yeah,
it's
you're ridiculous. Right. You're right. All right. Well, I was just thinking. Yeah, you're right. Maybe some type of mace, something to. But geez, man, I'm telling you, it's like, and I'm not into this. Listen, we don't have a dog. I'm sure we'll get a dog eventually, but I'm not into this. Like, let's run free with the dog. Like, what happened to a leash?
Yeah, no,
I'm not into this. Like, the dog is like 50 yards ahead of the owner. What is that? Get this thing on a leash. Just in case anything breaks out. No?
Breaks out. I used to hike Runyon Canyon, man. There is so much dog shit there. It would make me so angry, I couldn't keep it together. And that's why people, their dogs go 50 yards ahead of them, and then they come walking around the bend. I'm like, is that your golden retriever back there? Yeah, yeah, it took a shit. You didn't see it because you weren't, you know, that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm very angry.
No, I'm angry too. It's like, I like dogs, don't get me wrong, but like I came out the other day and I don't know how you feel about this, but there's the owner and the dog taking a shit on my lawn. Now, I come out and I see the owner and she sees me and I look at the dog and there's no like, oh, I'm sorry, nothing. It's just like, she's like, hey, how you doing? Do I got the right to go, what are you doing?
If I'm out there and your dog shits, even though you're picking it up, I deserve a sorry.
Yeah, I deserve a nod or something like of acknowledgement that this is happening. But now it's like people are almost like begging you, go ahead, say something.
Right.
Say something about my dog. You know, so that bothered me. And then we were at the farmer's market on Sunday, and Serafina's in her stroller, and this woman comes up, about mid-60s, comes up, oh, your baby is so observant. I said, yeah, yeah. She takes in everything around her. She goes to me, you know that her bottle, you know, she's got a little sippy cup. Her sippy cup is by her feet in her stroller. I said, yeah, yeah, I know. That's where she likes it. And she goes, and take her socks off. It's hot out here. And walks away. Now.
Did you take the socks off?
No. Joanna was getting fruit. She came back. I said, there's a woman over there by the pears that just told me to take the socks off. She goes, which one? And I'm over there. Now, I got all hopped up that I couldn't stop thinking about this lady all day long.
I hear you, man. Your parenting is being questioned.
Yeah. So then Lana goes, should we take the socks off? It is kind of warm. I go, we're keeping the socks on until August. I don't give a shit.
Or at least till this lady's gone.
So I don't know, man. I'm bothered very easily. I got to start relaxing a little bit more.
Let your guard down. Nobody's going to rob you. Just relax. Your money's not counterfeit. They weren't trying to mug you.
Oh, I passed it off, by the way.
Oh, congratulations. Who's the sucker? Yeah.
Oh, I passed it off. Yeah, right at Target.
There you go. Register 6 is open. Oh, good. So, you ready for counterfeit bill register 6? Kidding, FBI. We're kidding.
It's all comedy. It's all comedy.
Exactly.
All right, listen. Let me spit off some dates here. Oh, yeah. What a way to end the show. All right, the Stay Hungry Tour is up and running, coming to a city near you. Let me rattle off some of these dates. Milwaukee, September 27th. Minneapolis, September 28th. Green Bay, September 29th. Vegas, October 7th. Hamilton, Ontario, October 12th. Orilla, Ontario, October 13th. SebastianLive.com for all your Stay Hungry needs. What do you got?
I am back and active on Instagram, so anybody you want to reach out to me, take a look at me on Instagram, Pete Corielli.
Started following you, by the way.
Nice. Check it out. I'm going to be active, social media. And my Twitter, of course, is MyCorielli. I almost always get back to you if you hit me up on that too, man. As always, thanks for listening. Great hanging, bro. Love that.
Take care. Team. Hugh Jackman, take us out.
Buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care what comes after. Y'all feel a dream, can't you see, getting closer. Just surrender, cause you feel the feeling taking over. It's fire, it's freedom, it's flooding open. It's a picture in the pulpit and your blind devotion. There's something breaking at the brick of every wall, it's holding all that you know. So tell me, do you want to go?
The show has ended.
Turns to me and he goes, hey, nice car. Now I'm thinking, oh, you were gonna do it to me, but you saw how alert I was and you aborted the mission.
The hey, or nice car was their way of saying, all right, you got us. Way to be alert. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.